G'day Jets fans. Well, we're back. We're here to preview the round of 32 FFA Cup clash between the Jets and Adelaide. Very short episode today, and we're going to go into that match and talk about a few things. And we're joined by one person today. He's usually downstairs in when this is the setup at our place, my place, I should say. Bodes, welcome back to the pod, mate. How have you been?
I'm good, mate. I liked it when you referred to it as our place. Because when I'm there, it does feel like my home. That's how well you welcome me.
Oh, mate, thank you very much. We had some funny podcasts at this joint over the years, haven't we?
Yeah, we definitely have. And I'm grateful because that your desk chair that you had, I've ended up purchasing one for my own home. So you've given me plenty of ideas from you.
Oh, mate,
from all my visits. Yeah, you are.
All right, mate. Well, we do have an opening question. We'll keep with tradition, and the question I'm gonna put to you, and you want a bit of time to think about it. That's okay. The question is: you can spend one day in any cartoon world. Which are you choosing?
Come on, mate. That is. I don't even need time to think about it. It's The Simpsons, mate. Easy. Mate, just to spend a day at Moe's on the drink. Head down to the school, pick on Principal Skinner with Bart, and even to head round to the Simpsons house and have one of those BBBQs. The extra B is for the BBQ, and the other Q's a typo.
You wouldn't go to Barney's Bowlerama?
Oh, mate, last episode I watched it was blown up, so or Homer was shooting a gun off it, so it's a bit of a worrying place to go. Oh, and I wouldn't go to the nuclear plant either.
Well, mate, maybe they redid it when they moved Springfield down the road to New Springfield.
Yes, it's 5 kilometres down the road to New Springfield.
Look, it's hard to go past The Simpsons. It really is. I think I'll probably choose another Matt Groening cartoon and go with Futurama. You've got the opportunity to go to the moon. See Moonland.
Where whalers on the moon.
But yeah, heaps different.
The only reason I go to Futurama would be to go on the traveling person with the tube thing. I'd definitely want to make use of that.
But not just that, mate. If I go to New York, I could go and see the real New York, but it would be underground. There wouldn't be any crowds, so I'd place myself.
Perfect,
mate. I think we've got that question nailed.
We've nailed that.
So we are here to talk about the 2017 FFA Cup round of 32 game between Adelaide United and the Jets. It's being held at Marden Sports Complex in South Australia. So it's to the northeast of Adelaide, Bo. You've been there before?
Mate, I have been to Adelaide, but I haven't been to the said sports centre. Well, Marden, was it?
Marden.
No. Yes, no, I haven't been there. I've been to Hindmarsh, one of my favourite football stadiums in the country. So, no, Adelaide is a good trip for fans thinking of doing it.
I look forward to hopefully doing it this year. We'll see. But it's the home of the Adelaide Blue Eagles, so they're kind enough to have be hosting this match, which is good. Good to see. It's a 7:30 kickoff tomorrow night, and while it's not the main game on Fox, you can stream it if you have a Fox account through the Fox website. So, Fox. Mate, we'll get straight into the lineups. I mean, the referee for the game is Chris Griffith Jones. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but that's fine. We'll start with the Jets squad. They've named a 21-man squad, and it's essentially a full squad, bar their new recruit Jake Adelson. We're not sure how we're pronouncing his name.
Alderson, whatever.
Jake.
J-A-D.
he's not in the squad, but it's a very strong lineup the strongest that they could possibly name.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking at the list now in front of me, and yeah, by the sound of things, Topper Stanley's had his transfer clearance come through, so we're all guns blazing.
I'm looking at Adelaide's though. They've named a 24-man squad, and it's really difficult to look at this team because it's what I would call a very fringe team. Adelaide have had a lot of difficulties, and we'll come on to some of that later with the departure of key players. But we're looking here at the recognised players made of Michael Moroney, T. Taylor Regan. Vince Leah, their new signing, has joined. Player that was almost rumoured to be all but signed on for the Jets earlier in the year. Everything that's written.
Dave, he is my second most stealing a wage player after Lee Broxham for me.
Is he in the punchable face category, mate?
Oh no, I don't think he's got a punchable face, but he's definitely one of those people I think has two left feet.
Yeah, very good. Nothing wrong with left feet, mate.
Nothing wrong with one left foot.
Right.
For me, the left foot's putting the step onto the bus, but that's okay.
So they've also got Ryan Kiddo, Isaias, Papa Diawara has come back, which is good. They've also included Ersan Gulam and Johan Absalonen.
You've done better than me, mate.
Mate, so I'm certainly no Les Murray. Rest his soul. But other than that, it's almost a fringe looking lineup for Adelaide. Do you think, mate, there's a chance here looking at this lineup that the Jets are going to look at this in, and how do you think they'll take it?
Well, to be honest, the way I look at it, it's the second best outcome from getting an NPL team. I know some NPL teams have done well this year. Blacktown, my new favourite NPL team after their result last week beating the European Gosford Mariners. So,
former Newcastle Jet, Joey Gibbs.
Yep, former Jet. No, I think he Joey Gibbs scored a goal for the Jets, I think, in his only appearance. Did he, Dave, or did he play more than
He played
than
three
one?
Appearances, mate, but as great. It stands, he and Franco Parisi, go Franco, have the best ever, the best scoring rate per minute for the Jets. So
beautiful.
Unless someone else comes along and scores a goal in their first game, and that's
and never plays again,
then he's probably going to keep a hold of that record for a while.
Looking at this team, I shouldn't be worried. We shouldn't be worried, but look, it's the Jets. It's a lottery. It's a mixed lolly bag.
Some people would say, mate, that it's the magic of the cup.
It really is, and hopefully for once the magic is on our side.
Look, if we look at the fixture facts, I mean, we'll take this with a grain of salt, given the lineups and the fact that both teams haven't completed their respective rosters, and that it is the FFA Cup, it's their first meeting in the FFA Cup. But in the A-League, there's been 37 fixtures overall between the two teams, 11 wins to the Jets, 15 to United, and 11 draws. In Adelaide, there's been 20 matches. The Jets have only managed to win on three occasions, which is certainly a concerning stat. First goals in the fixtures, the Jets are actually ahead 17-15, with the Jets 36 to United's 47 goals overall. The last result was Newcastle Jets 0, Adelaide United 1, which is very interesting. That was a Marcelo Karuska penalty. So, I mean, there are certainly some questions that we'll probably get into, Bodes. Joel was meant to be joining the podcast last night, but some technical difficulties prevented that recording happening. But one of the questions from a guy by name of David Keating at Jetapool, worth a follow.
Haven't heard him.
No,
mate,
the crowd in the back certainly liked like that call. Given the changes that Adelaide have, should the Jets be considered favourites in this match?
Yes, we should be considered favourites. Just on pure squad retention, the names on our list are definitely more familiar to the names on Adelaide's list from last season.
They have lost some key players that we touched on before, most notably Sirio, Karuska, yep. Riley McGree, who's gone overseas, Dylan McGowan. Who's gone to Portugal, and Eugene Galekovic, who's gone across the border back to Melbourne. Mate, who do you think is the biggest loss out of those five for Adelaide?
It's a tough one. It's between Karuska and Galekovic. Galekovic purely for just his reputation and his leadership, and then you've got Karuska for just his creative ability for Adelaide. He's such a naturally talented player and one of the best players I think Adelaide would say in their history. So, yeah, I'm going to stick my neck out and go Karuska.
Yeah, I disagree. I agree with the two players you've picked, but I think Galekovic is a major loss for the team. mostly because of the fact that the two goalkeepers that they've, well, they've named three goalkeepers in the squad. Daniel Margush is their number one. They're listed number one, I should say. Paul Izzo is number 20. He's a gippo. And Isaac Richards, who again must be a youth player.
Yeah, I'd expect Izzo to be starting between the sticks.
I would too. It'd be really interesting to see how he and Ryan Kiddo are getting on in the same squad, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm about to say, I'm sure that he was introduced to his elbow first, then his face.
Mate, I'm sure there'd be a bit of banter there, and you never know, Ryan Kiddo, if he plays, I expect he'd play, he might do us another favour.
Hopefully.
But yeah, I think that with the addition of Turkish player Gulam and Absalonsson, who's a winger, that I think that they may have that level covered with the loss of Sirio and McGowan respectively. But look, it's a tough call, and if people have their thoughts on that, by all means jump on and tweet us at Jetstream Yui and tell us what you think, because we'd be keen to hear. But enough about Adelaide, mate. What do you think that Ernie Merrick is going to be looking for from the team?
I think after our last A-League hit out against the Mariners, I think a much improved performance would be a start for one. But I just think for cohesion, I just think between players like Petrados or Donovan, Wayne Brown and Naboo, like just to start getting some shape and putting some goals together. We've really struggled when our best team's been on the park against NPL opposition. So I'm really hoping that the boys have done some shooting practice and hopefully going to bang some goals in tomorrow night.
We've had, a mixed warm-up into the match. We played Western out at Western and had a 2-0 win. Then we played Magic and had a 4-0 win. We
4-1.
Then played 4-1, pardon me, 4-1.
You're right.
Then we played the Mariners in a behind-closed-doors trial, we lost that 2-0. We're supposedly playing European quality side there, but
ruining the F3 derby.
Yeah, well,
playing them in pre-season.
Exactly.
That's another podcast though in itself.
And we'll do that one day. And then a 4-0 win against Maitland last week as well. So it's been good to see that Petrados has been getting on the scoreboard. O'Donovan as well. The new players are settling in well. But do you think that we've had a big enough pre-season? Do you think the four games will put us in good stead?
I'd say it's probably just adequate. The boys are just probably getting minutes in their boots. And look, tomorrow night is probably, if you really ask the A-League coaches, is probably just a high-profile friendly with something at the end of it. So, but it means more to the fans, and so it should. So hopefully the players take it that way.
What do you think the starting lineup's going to be? I mean, Moss or one of the most contentious
positions? Yeah, the biggest
Moss
one.
And Duncan?
I'm going to go with Jack Duncan, purely because he's the incumbent and I think it's his position to lose, not the one to get back off Moss. So I'm going to go with Duncan. What are you going to go, Dave?
Mate, I'm going with Jack Duncan as well. He's been in between the sticks for the first for a couple of the trials. As you said, he's the incumbent. He hasn't done anything wrong and I think that he deserves to have the first crack at it. At the very least. Back four, I would say that Georgievski is definitely nailed on left back.
Yes, agree.
Jason Hoffman or Nick Cowburn for you, mate?
Hoffman.
Yeah, I think Hoffman will be there as well. It's really interesting we're very squad heavy, wouldn't you say, across the, particularly in the fullbacks, more squad heavy than we have been in previous years.
Hey, well, it's the first time we've got designated left footed left backs. It's unbelievable.
Two left footed left backs.
I know. Before the days of Jacob Pepper and other fill ins are over.
There was talk a couple of weeks ago about Ernie Merrick looking to move a few of the younger players or the players that were on the fringes from the squad. And one of the names that certainly was mentioned is Daniel Alessi. And with the Jets signing Jake Adelson, having Alessi, Cowburn, Hoffman, Vajica, and Georgievski on their books, I really think, do you think that we're too heavy in that area?
Yes, yeah, I do. I think of that list, and also to Katrumbis, another defender who can fill in adequately at those positions. So, yeah, I have witnessed Alessi play in the local NPL stuff, playing for the Jets youth, and I think he's, unfortunately, I just don't think he's cut out. I think injury has obviously tied down what a good potential was. But yeah, no, I think if they were going to look to move someone on, he would be the one to go.
I would also say they're not going to get rid of Daniel Jojeski.
No.
Quite simply, he's a good player.
he's a great player.
Jason Hoffman, I think, could be quite secure in his position, as could Jake Adelson, because they've just signed him. That leaves Nick Cowburn and Ivan Vujica. Do you think that either of these players may be looking over their shoulder or thinking to themselves, is Ernie referring to me?
I'm going to say no with Nick Cowburn, just purely due to versatility and the fact that he can play in a central midfield position if needed. Vujica, yes, I think possibly a tap on the shoulder could be coming. But look, Vujica could actually benefit greatly this year from watching the likes of Jojeski and getting another look at Hoffman. So
you talk about Cowburn's versatility, but
yep,
it's not something that we've really seen at the A-League or competitive level. I understand he used to play there during his youth days, but I mean, I actually think that this could be certainly a make or break season for Nick.
I think it's definitely make or break. I think you too, Dave. I thought last year was going to be Bugard's year, that he cracked the team, and if anything, he went backwards.
Cowburns. You said Bugard.
Cowburns. Sorry, Bugard. Cowburn.
I'll just cut that out, mate. That's fine. Here's a different one. I'll put something different to you. Do you think that Ernie Merrick may have or foresee a different role for Jason Hoffman?
No. I think Hoffman's position for the future and for now is right back. And yeah, I know he's been utilised last season and a little bit in the preseason further forward, but I think it was maybe Ernie Merrick having a look. I think we're we're not well equipped, but the players further up the field are definitely better placed to be in the position than Jason.
A player that I haven't seen too much of during the pre-season, who really hasn't made the starting lineup, is a player you mentioned before, Johnny Katrumbis. But it seems to be the Jets have named five central defenders in their lineup for the game. They've got Bernard, mm-hmm. obviously, Topol Stanley, our number 44, who's had their clearance. Lachlan Jackson is included in the squad. With John Katrumbis, that's the primary position we've seen him play, though we have seen him in central midfield before.
Well, about to say, he has been playing the preseason mostly in the central midfield position. He's actually been vying with Kantorowski, I think, for the spot to be next to Ogarkovic, I think. So,
okay, well, let's count him now as a centre midfield. That's a Jetstream official. another player that's been quite impressive by all accounts is youngster Patrick Langlois. He's the captain of the youth team and was involved in the Wayfair Cup. But do you think we could see a surprise there, or do you think who do you think is going to be lining up in central defence?
Purely based on Ernie Merrick's last 4 years in Phoenix, picking injury aside, the pairing of Sigmund and Durant, I expect Bugard and Topper Stanley to line up next to each other tomorrow night.
Yeah, I do too. It will be interesting to see just how Lachlan Jackson responds to something, the introduction of Topol Stanley, what sort of conversation he's had, or just how he responds and looks to win his role back into the centre of the team, because that's where he wants to be. You'll be vying with Topol Stanley.
He will be, and look, it's a good challenge for Lachlan. He did make his way into the team last year, so there's every chance he can do it again.
Last trial, we saw Ugarkovic and Kantorowski line up next to each other. Do you think that's how we'll line up tomorrow?
I'd expect so. Unless Katrumbis has done something outstanding to nab it off Kantorowski, I expect it to be that way.
The starting three, I guess, involved Naboo, Wayne Brown behind the striker, and Dimi Petratos out wide. Do you expect them behind Roy O'Donovan?
Yep, that's the best three for those three positions.
Well, look, I think if you've got the option to put a bet on the starting lineup, we've put it out there for you. So
yeah, we're definitely having a very heated argument here on the starting team.
Yeah, mate, there's too much disagreement.
Yeah.
All right. So a couple of questions, as I said before, Joel put some up on Twitter, and a few people put them out there. Question here: did you enjoy the first trailer of the Championship Chronicles, Bodes?
Mate, I absolutely loved it, and yeah, I can't wait. I think it's going to be great. I think you're a credit to yourself, mate. And yeah, without pulling you anymore, I can't wait.
Well, good. I think we can just let it slip that the first episode is pretty much complete, and Bodes, you're a road tester for me. So
yeah, I didn't know whether you wanted me to tell the listeners that, but that's fine. Yeah, mate, I have been a road tester, and yeah, mate, definitely, like I think I originally said, laughter, tears, and great memories.
So Todd Blackwell at Raw Prawn 25, give him a follow. He's always up there with the questions, and one that we might not be able to answer, it's a pretty tough one: how different aerodynamically is the FFA Cup miter ball compared to the Newey season 17-18 Nike ball? So I think there's been a change.
Mate, the miter ball is the old English ball, so it's good to see that it's making its return in Australian football.
Mate, it is. I think we're going to have to. I guess what when we're looking though at the aerodynamic ability, we'll have to estimate. You know, we have to assume is it a later or an unladen swallow? Sorry, soccer ball. Shit.
Well played, David.
I should probably add that one out, but the laughter won't be the same. We've answered Lawrence's question there in our debate. Duncan Moss or Duncan? I think we're going with Duncan.
We are.
Jared 084_J doesn't agree. Hopefully he's listening to this, but interesting, Jared, to hear why you think that will be. Joel Goodsir replied to himself: how good is it that the Mariners are out of the FFA Cup, Bodes?
Mate, excellent. No more words required.
Blacktown forever.
Blacktown forever. Mariners never.
As long as they don't meet us.
Yeah, exactly.
And knock us out, providing we've got to get through tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Jets Tragic, who is always good for a comment and a tweet. Thoughts on the replacement of Coco with Adolson in the squad?
I don't think it's a direct replacement. I think we were always going to look to get Adolson. I think Coco's replacement is still to be made.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Certainly what Ernie Merrick is saying in the press, that's the impression that we're giving. He's looking for a number 10 and a goal scorer. So I think that's where we're going to look to go. I think Adelson may have been a signing made at the Jets had to react to a certain signature for his player with the intent of moving on others that we talked about earlier. And the final question, mate, is Ernie says that we already have enough quality DMs, defensive mids, and he said that in the Jets' new members' mail, Monday morning members' mail, which rolls off the tongue. Do you agree with that, mate, or do you think that, we've recruited Georgievski, Nikolai Topol-Stanley, Moss. Do you think we're short of number six, especially with the departure of Poljak?
Yes, I do think we're short. Looking at the list, realistically, you've got a Garkovic, Kantorovsky, and then you've got players who are not familiar with that position in Brown and Katrumba. So really, we realistically have two players who have been trained in that position. If it was me, I would be looking to move on one of the defenders to bring in another number six, if it was me. But look, what do you think, Dave? Do you think we're adequately filled, or do we need another number six?
It's almost going to be the rebirth of Cantor, I think, under Ernie Merrick. He spoke about being a big fan of Ben. So this again could be a coming of age for Ben. He's with the club 10 years this year, and he's only 25. He's still only 25, which is amazing when you think about it. But I do think that we really, I think we're going to miss Poljak as a player, and I think that we are going to be short a player in that, because we.
I can understand why Ernie might have said that as well, because if you really think about it, there is a shortage of options in that actual position around the league. I can't think of anyone besides under A-League level, who would be available to sign other than to bring Poljak back.
Yeah, I can't either, mate. There's not a lot of talent going around there at the moment.
And the ones that were available have been snapped up. I'm thinking Holland and Milligan.
Well, Dimitrijevic is still available.
Yeah,
he's rumored for Perth.
My boat passed on him in the grand final a couple of years ago when I think was it Mark Milligan completely played him out of the game. He's been off my radar ever since that moment.
Oh, mate, look, I think more than just your boat passed him that game, to be fair.
Yeah, I think if the whole of Melbourne's boat passed him that game.
Anyway, so thanks everyone for the questions. The questions at such short notice, hopefully we've answered them adequately. If not, let us know and you can come on the podcast and debate them with us. More than happy for you to do that. Bose, we'll touch on a bit of news before we wrap up this really short preview.
Yep.
The Jets recently, or the Jets youth, played in the WAFAN Cup, where they ended up finishing sixth, I think, after
defeat
to Tokyo.
No, they actually finished eighth. They finished eighth. Last.
Oh, they finished last. Well,
they did. They followed their senior counterparts.
Well, if they'd beaten Tokyo, they would have been forever seventh.
But, forever
Look, some big names there from likes of Wolfsburg, Club Bruges, Chivas, Sao Paulo. They really came up against some good teams. And how do you think that they made an account of themselves?
Well, look, I didn't really catch the last two games and then their little mini final series for the fifth to eighth positions, but I definitely saw highlights of their first three games. And look, they beat Shandong.
Yep.
Then lost to Chivas, but then they had a draw with Bruges, which was fantastic in my opinion. Look, I think the whole tournament was a great experience for the guys, and look, it was probably a good show of what players at their level, at their age and level, are doing. So no, I think it was a great opportunity, and also too a great opportunity for Labby, I think, to get an eye into that now that he's stepped into his coaching role.
Yeah, I think it was terrific. This is the sort of thing that I guess we probably wouldn't have been invited to had we not been part of, or owned by the Ledman Group. So it's certainly from a youth perspective starting to pay dividends and open up doors for the club. Hopefully we can be involved in these sorts of things in the future.
Yep.
Yeah. Mate, next bit of news, Jess Van Stratten has departed the club. Something of a bit of a shock, I suppose. I mean, if the Citigroup come knocking on your door, you're probably not going to... Well, you're going to look at it very seriously. But disappointing to have lost Jess to a rival A-League club?
Yeah, I think, actually, I was actually really disappointed about this one. I think he can take some serious credit for where Mark Birighetti is now at Swansea. And I think he can definitely take further credit for what he's done with Jack Duncan's game in just over a season. So hopefully the Jets are willing to get an able replacement and not get an admin staff to kick the ball at Jack Duncan during their lunch break, like Paul Laurie has with the youth team job. Hopefully they can get a specific goalkeeping coach.
Yeah, I think we need to go out, and if we have ambitions to be playing finals football and reach third, as Ernie was talking about earlier today or late yesterday, we need to go out there and we need to be targeting a decent level goalkeeping coach. Even look at trying to poach one from a rival ourselves if they're good enough. So
yeah.
Let's not be the club that gives everyone their first crack in football and then watch them go on to bigger and better things. Let's actually show some ambition and go out there and sign a proper goalkeeper.
Let's be what we are, jerks.
Yeah, exactly right. Big jerks.
Yeah.
And mate, it had been rumoured in the press for quite a while, and he'd been referred to by Laurie and Ernie Merrick, and that's the South American number 10 that was an impending arrival to Newcastle, and that fell through last week due to illness in that player's, we still don't have a name, that player's family. So disappointingly, the Jets are back to the drawing board.
The closest we got apparently was his bags. I wonder if there was any players in the bags that we could have taken out, or at least a pair of football boots we could have given to someone to get that creative spark. But yeah, really disappointing. And look, hopefully, I think someone found the quote from Ernie saying that we weren't going to get the first one, we were going to get the second one. If we weren't going to get the second one, we're going to get the third one. Let's just hope that wasn't the third one.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's interesting to see that the reference now has come out that he was going to be a marquee player. Hopefully it all wasn't smoke and mirrors as well, because I know a lot of people, a lot of fans, and this is something we'll probably discuss on a later podcast, but they were looking to this off-season, and I only say this now because the off-season is not complete, but they were looking to this off-season as a real line in the sand as to the commitment that Martin Lee was going to put into the club. And let's hope that this wasn't just an attempt to appease the fans and saying that we were going to sign him. Let's try and see some investment. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. It's all good. The Jets have been fed words for the last 5-6 years. It's actions that are gonna speak louder than the words. So let's hope that they go out and find the marquee we need.
Yeah, but before we jump down his throat, let's at least give him the benefit of the off season, and
yes,
then we'll jump. Then
yes.
We'll jump. Then the full off then season, we'll, so that we can actually judge with. With
everyone,
the complete picture.
Keep sharpening your pitchforks. We'll tell you when to light them.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Mate, last point. Last point before we wrap it up and do some tips. The Matildas. How bloody good are the Matildas?
Yeah, mate. They're the real standard for Australian football at the moment. Samantha Kerr, there's words going around that she's the Leo Messi / Ronaldo, because I won't get into that battle equivalent of, in the women's game. So,
it's fantastic, and congratulations to the Matildas on an outstanding 3 results against some of the biggest clubs, or biggest countries, I should say, rather, in the world. And
that little club in America, that little club called America.
If we keep on going like this, we'll just be labelled fake news, mate, and no one will look at us. But this can only have a great impact to the W League, both in terms of the crowds for the Jets. The Jets already have some of the best crowds in the W League, but also the players that we're going to look to attract to this competition, and hopefully investment, not just in grassroots, but in the competition as well, Bodes.
Yeah, definitely. And look, I know you, me, and a lot of the Jetstream guys do enjoy watching the women's game. And look, I'm hoping this year I might be able to get down and watch some more fixtures. So yeah, definitely. Hopefully they can attract some more players and they can be given the fair share of the wage that they deserve.
Hear, hear, definitely. Mate, all right, tips time. Time to put your money where your mouth is. You won't be able to get away with your standard 4-0 this week.
No, I won't.
Adelaide versus the Jets, mate. What's your tip?
Oh, I'm going to go with the Jets 2-1.
I'm actually going to go 3-1. I think we're going to make it difficult for ourselves. I think we'll go behind, but I think we'll equal by half time, and we'll probably pick up 2 late goals to finish over Adelaide, and 3-1. Dimi Petratos getting a double, and
nice.
Roy O'Donovan also scoring a goal.
That would be good.
It would be, mate. It would be better than good. It would be very, very good. Hume City, Bentley Greens, big match there.
Yeah, probably the biggest NPL game besides South Melbourne and Edgeworth, which was a great game a couple of weeks ago. I'm gonna go with Bentley Greens.
Yep. Yeah, I think Bentley will just be too strong. I'm having a look at their lineup, and
hopefully Andy Brennan has a good game.
Yeah, I hope so for his sake too. I mean, Andy Brennan is in there. I'm just having a look at their list. I can't see any other. Ben Lifton is a former Brisbane Roar.
Keanu Moore used to play down there, but he's now back at Edgeworth. He was another local boy.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
That's good for Edgeworth. Doesn't look like anyone in the Hume lineup that I can see. The name sticks out. So yeah. Moving on, Sydney United 58 FC versus Far North Queensland Heat.
You would expect Sydney United to win that convincingly.
Yeah, I think so too. Michael Neal, former Mariner, is in there. Chris Payne is in there as well. Matt Sim.
Panny Nikas.
Yanni Pekatis. Tomislav Uzkok. Glenn Trefiro. Jeez, mate, that's a very...
It's a good squad.
Geez, if they get through, that team is half Gippos. So that would be better than the real Gippos. But in saying that, Far North Queensland Heat, always got an interest with them because I know Zenon Caravella, former Jet Zenon Caravella, is up there and has a little bit to do with them, I think, still. But I think they're just going to be too... Sydney United just going to be too strong.
Yep.
Final game of the round is being held at Perry Park in Bowen Hills. It's Brisbane Roar FC versus Melbourne Victory.
Kevin Muscat versus Kevin Muscat.
What do you say that for?
Have you not seen Brisbane's newest striker? Have you seen him?
Yeah. I get it now. Massimo Macaroni.
Yeah, ridiculously, they see each other, they're going to think they're looking at a mirror.
I saw that name come up and I thought, no, that can't be. That's just got to be someone else with the same name as the ex-Middlesbrough striker. But no, they've got it there. Brisbane's average age with Theoklotos, De Vere, Christensen, Macaroni, Holman,
Jade North.
It's Matt McKay. It's really got to be getting
it's
up.
Dad's army.
I know this isn't an over 35s comp. No. In all
seriousness, yeah, decent one though.
Yeah, very decent one. They played most. Well, they played the Jets off the park last year. So let's not even go there.
True.
Who are we picking there, mate?
I'm just going to go. I'm going to go with Brisbane Roar actually, just purely based on they're the home team. No other reason.
I'm actually going to go Victory. I think the return of Barbaroussis, Berisha, Troisi, that will have offset the loss of Rojas, and I think that they'll be okay there. So I think they'll get through.
All right,
mate. Very good. Thanks for joining.
Great chat. It was good to get back under a small one. Then we can get back onto the longer ones later.
Well, mate, it's our preseason too, so we've got to work our way in.
Yeah.
We've worked our way back into form. But...
Yeah, we've got rid of the bumps and the scratches, so...
Mate, we're just loose. But, look, as always, season. Thanks to everyone who's listened to us today. And if you don't already, give our podcast a subscription. You can find the Jet Stream on all podcast apps through iTunes and through Stitcher. Give us a review on iTunes. It helps to spread the word about what we're doing. Tell your friends. Maybe if you don't want them to be your friends anymore, maybe, I don't know, but tell your friends about us. If you want to get in touch with the pod, you can contact us via Facebook, facebook.com/JetStreamNewey, on Twitter at JetStreamNewey. Or email us at podcast@newcastlefootball.net. So, Bodes, thanks again, mate. We'll talk to you later.
We will, mate. Thanks for having me.
Go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Very good, mate.
Done.
I'll let you go watch The Simpsons, mate, and go plan your day in Springfield.
Yeah, I bet so. That'd be perfect. I'm thinking, I'll go to the Quickie Mart, have a slushie, get a carton of Duff.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
There's got to be something else we can do.
I actually really want to... Remember how Mitch showed that photo of the Simpsons house?
Oh, you want to go find that room in the back.
I want to see that room and see what it is, because I'm right. He's right. I've never seen it, so...
Ah, very good. Not very interesting. Good on you, mate. Well, I'm down, Benjamin!